Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. Welcome to Metron Live, the Metron Community Podcast, coming to you from beautiful, historic Midtown Atlanta. Metron people, would you give the podcast people a big welcoming hand? I do have a good word for you this morning. I speak into this atmosphere and I say, let there be light. I want to refer to a scripture. You know, especially when I do the streaming, we always do affirmations and we do the, I don't want to make a religion out of this, but I like the process of like saying, I am peaceful, I am peace. I am. It always takes you up to the I am declaration. I want to examine this. I'm going to be very cerebral / spiritual with you today. So come up higher with me. I'm going to climb up for a Sermon on the Mount, if you will. So I need you to ascend up with me and be capable of abstract thought. Let me show you, because the point is I want to sort of re-examine the I am affirmation and turn it inside out and like move that diamond a little bit and let the light catch another facet of it. The scripture I want to show you first, this is the beginning of the Revelation, the Apocalypse. This is out of the New International Version. And John's vision, which was a metaphor, Revelation is not, if you take it literally, you've completely missed the point of it. The whole thing is a dream that John, he said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I saw things that must shortly come to pass. But when he has this encounter with Jesus, who does not look like Jesus of Nazareth, the Jesus he encounters has hair like wool. His eyes are like a flame of fire. His voice is the sound of many rushing waters. The post-resurrection Jesus is more like the Christ. Christ existed before incarnation. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, but the Word was always here. The Logos was always here. It was embodied in the humanity of Jesus for 33 years, and then Jesus himself said, it's necessary that I go away. If I stay any longer, you guys are going to start worshiping me and build Christianity, which is not what he came for. The worst thing that ever happened to Jesus was Christianity. Christianity is the antithesis of everything that Jesus came to teach. One thing that just in our little pre-interview, what Greg said, he said, I've looked at some of your stuff and I noticed you use quotes from other belief systems. And I said, well, because that was a selling point for him. And I said, well, to me, it's yes and, it's not either or. So if I see somebody speak some truth, and they're from a different belief system. I mean, Christianity, the Bible is always going to be ground zero for me, but it's not exclusive to say that other rivers don't have truth as well. And so, when I hear something that resonates, I want to incorporate it. I don't see it as let me prove them wrong. I want to draw a circle around it and say, let me show you how we're confirming one another. That's why. You know, I've told you this many times, but when I was preaching in Ramallah a few years ago to men who used to be part of the PLO, and I'm looking out through the window looking at Yasser Arafat's grave, I said, look, we're basically saying the same thing in Genesis 25. Right up the road from where I'm standing right here in this hotel, it says that Isaac and Ishmael, not Isaac. Yeah. Isaac and Ishmael took the body of their father, Abraham, and buried him together. And there was a blessing spoken over the nations that came through Hagar, just like there were the nations that came through Sarah. And if you read the scriptures, like it's not that I'm not pro-Israel, it's that I'm pro-earth. And the whole point was, you know, God loves the Palestinians as much as he loves the Israelis. You say, well, he blesses those who bless Israel. He blesses those who bless people. that's how it works. And if you politicize that, that's where religion gives birth to racism. Because if you preach exclusion, you're just a few steps away from racism. So somewhere you're going to find a scripture that's going to say, my kind is right, your kind is wrong. And so in the beginning of the Revelation, Jesus says this to John, and he ends it. I'm not going to go there today, but in the last chapter, he says the same thing. He sort of bookends it. But let me just show you verse 8. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Now, I've quoted the scripture all of my life, and just in the last few days, it's really struck me how that there's cognitive dissonance isn't the word, but there's two different things at work here. First of all, when he says I am, you know, we talk about anything that follows those words I am become prophetic over us, because I am speaks of the now. It speaks of eternity, not I was or I will be, but I am. I am exist more than time. But then he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Now, Alpha and Omega, that's from the Greek alphabet. The Greek alphabet actually has 24 characters. And so he's saying, I am the A and the Z. So basically what he's saying is, I am infinity, finite. Now, just stay with me. Stay up here. In the clouds. The alphabet has a beginning. The alphabet has an ending. So the fact that he says, I am Alpha and Omega, it's nearly like a, if you read it in the natural, it's like a contradiction in terms. But I don't know about a lot of languages. I know mostly about the Latin languages. When I met Sophie's dad, I spoke what French I knew. I sang a little bit of the Marseillaise. Allons enfants de la patrie, le jeu de gloire. I think I got an A+ on my pronunciation. But I also remember the French alphabet, which pretty much is, nearly sounds exactly like the English alphabet, except for X, Y, Z. It's A, B, C, D, E, F, A, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, 2, V, W, X, Y, Z. I love the X, Y, Z. X, Y, Z. But so in French, it would be, I am the A and the Z. He's saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Now, this is interesting because I am means I always, you know, there's no today or tomorrow in I am. Are you with me? So why does he say, I'm the God who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty? That's a very loaded statement, because if he just said, I am, that means nothing changes, nothing evolves. I am is timeless. I am is eternity. I am is transcendent. We live in a system where our bodies age, the world is revolving and rotating, it's going around the sun. As you, those of you who are aging with me, and that's all of you, notice how fast is, can you believe it's Christmas again? Yesterday we were listening to the Holly channel, and I said, I've listened to this for 3 days, I've already heard all of my favorites. And like, I'm already nearly saturated with it. I'm going to have to, not him, he's like, he listens to it nonstop. That's good. That's why you're so sweet. You're like Will Ferrell in Elf. There's no guile in you. For me, I'm like, that's enough of that. Stop it. But it just seems like it was just Christmas. You know, my theory on this is when you're a year old, one revolution around the sun is 100% of your life. When you're 2 years old, it's 50% of your life. So as you get older in relation to how many times you've been around the sun, that trip gets shorter and shorter. Remember when you were a kid and somebody would say, how old you are? You didn't say 7. You said, I'll be 8 in, or you'd say, I'm 8 and a half, or I'm 8 3/4. I'm, you know, now you're like, dear God, it's my birthday again. And then it's, how old am I? You know, when you go to the doctor and they, you know, you have to put age in, you think, oh crap, I'm that old. Like, I forget. already told y'all, you may have heard me say this, but we listened to the Beatles channel a couple weeks ago. I'm just driving along singing, "Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm..." And it suddenly hit me like, holy camoly, I'm about to be... This song is not amusing to me at all anymore. This used to be a novelty song. Now it's like, will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64? Because it's in about 6 months. Hey, let's listen to somebody besides the Beatles. Dear God. The fact that he says, "I am," he's recognizing eternity, but he's also talking about was, is, will be. Alpha, Omega, okay? Now, this is a little excerpt of something I wrote in a blog a few years ago. I think it's more timely now, but this is John 1:1 in the... Did you isolate that verse? Because I think I'd put it all together. Anyway, see what you got. Okay, yeah. The reference is John 1:1, and I will get to that in a minute. But that's what you're good. You're not in trouble. That was like a prosecutor. I was going to play Johnny Cochran for a minute, but I thought, all right. This is what I wrote. I am that I am. There it is in Hebrew. Is a yeah, aser, a yeah. The real interpretation of what God actually said to Moses. Now, this is in Exodus 3. Remember when Moses at the burning bush, and he says, if I go to Pharaoh and tell him to release the slaves, let my people go, who shall I say sent me? Because the Egyptians are polytheists. And the voice just says to him, you tell him I am sent you. Or he says, ayer, aser, aser, aye. I am that I am. The real interpretation of what God actually said to Moses is closer in meaning to I will be what I will be than it is to I am that I am. Hayah means existed or was in Hebrew. Ayah is the first person singular imperfect form and is usually translated in English Bibles as I will be or I shall be. For example, in Exodus 3:14, it says Ayah Asher Ayah literally translates as I will be what I will be with attendant theological and mystical implications in Jewish tradition. But in most English Bibles, in particular, the King James Version, this phrase is rendered as, I am that I am. The phrase often contracted in English as I am is one of the seven names of God accorded special care by medieval Jewish tradition. The phrase is also found in other world religious literature used to describe the Supreme Being, generally referring back to its use in Exodus. The word ayah is used a total of 43 places in the Hebrew Bible, where it is often translated as I will be, as is the case for its first occurrence in Genesis 26:3, or I shall be, as is the case for its final occurrence in Zechariah chapter 8, verse 8. Used by God to identify himself at the burning bush, the importance placed on the phrase, as it is, stems from the Hebrew conception of monotheism. That God exists by himself for himself and is the uncreated creator who is independent of any concept, therefore, or concept, force, or entity. Therefore, I am who I am, ongoing. And I think, is the John 1:1, is it under number 3? Is that, because the, okay, I didn't see it on there. All right, it's fine. Let me go ahead and read this part to you, and I'll explain to you where I'm going with it. This is...
you were right. No.
It's under number 2?
Three.
Under 3, okay. The real meaning of the phrase is not just a declaration of present existence, but a statement of prophetic potential. What if God isn't static? Now, the very fact that he says... we think he says, I am that I am. In other words, this is who I am, conform to that concept. When really what he actually says is, I will be what I will be. Now you think, before I read the rest of this, you think about Jesus saying, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Or David saying, to the froward he will show himself froward. to the merciful he will show himself merciful. Or Jesus saying, give and it shall be given unto you. For the same measure you meet, it'll be measured back to you. Basically, just stay with me on this. Basically, God created us, but we're creating God. Now, you say, well, no, God is God. Well, not according to what the voice of God said. Let me read the rest of it. What if God and the concept of God is evolving? The Greek literally says, within a beginning, here it is. That's what I was looking for, John 1:1. This is out of the Jonathan Mitchell New Testament. Like in the King James, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Here's what it says in the when you break down the Greek. It says, within a beginning. Now, it's interesting because King James says, in the beginning. When you really get into both the Hebrew and the Greek, it is the word a instead of the. It's in a beginning. God created. It changes a whole lot. And then when you get into quantum physics and them talking about a multiverse, this is why I stopped arguing with people about hell. Because people who want to believe in hell just get galvanized and they double down on it because they think you're saying, you know, Hitler's in heaven. That's when someone is eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil for their entire life, their theology is so binary that it's very difficult to get them to see anything through the tree of life. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil so shapes your paradigm that everything is good versus evil, heaven versus hell, light versus darkness. And there's a truth to that. You know, in Taoism, you see the yin and the yang, and there's the equal opposite. You know, that's not completely untrue, but the whole world isn't that way. You know, as you get older, if you age properly, you'll stop seeing your life through the lens of the good stuff versus the bad stuff. It's just the stuff. It's just the stuff that you experienced. Because some of the stuff that looked bad at the time, later on turned out to, either you made peace with it or it turned out to be a blessing in disguise. So it will be what it will be. You understand what I'm saying? The God who says, I will be what I will be, sometimes a thing in your life just needs to mature before you realize it was a blessing. See, the way I look at it is, I create my world through the paradigm of the tree of life. So everything ultimately will be good. It's what Paul was trying to say when he said all things work together for good. And some things initially do not look good. Some things, when they're evolving, have you ever renovated your house, remodeled your house? It has to look horrible before it looks good. It doesn't. You don't go from looking good to looking better. You go from looking good to tearing it all apart to wishing you hadn't even started, you know, to saying, what were we thinking? And then it becomes this other incarnation. It's the whole concept of going from glory to glory. So here he says, within a beginning or in union with headship and sovereignty, there was the Logos, the Word, the thought. He calls God a thought. The collection of thoughts, the idea, the reason, the discourse, the communication, the verbal expression. These are all meanings in Greek of what that word got translated, how it got translated. And the Logos, the idea, the thought, the expression, the word, was facing or directed and moving toward or continued being face to face with God. And the Logos, or the word, the thought, the idea, the reason, the expression, continued being as God. You may be more familiar with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But even that, even when you read it through Elizabethan English, it's still very mystical. Because it doesn't say God is a man on a throne in outer space. It says in the beginning was the Word, the Logos, the thought, the collection of thoughts. And when we get into quantum physics and we see the observer effect, reality becomes how you observe it, what you see collapses into your reality, how you see it. Which is why the people that want to believe in the judgmental God, the hellfire and brimstone God, I don't argue with them either, because guess what? You can find him. You can You can string together your little sound bites, your verses of scripture, and you can create any God you want. You know the Aeneas Nin quote says, we don't see the world as it is, we see it as we are. It's true for the Bible. We don't read the Bible as it is, we read it as we are. Like when I read the Bible, I automatically go to positive things, to good things. I read some meme I saw last night. I actually started to post it because I thought it was very funny. It said, somebody just called me hot. Well, actually, they said, you're a hot mess. But I'm trying right now just to focus on the positive. And I thought, you know, it's true, but there's actually something to that. Because if your paradigm is a certain way and somebody says, you are a hot mess, if you hear it right, you'd be like, thank you. Thank you for saying, you know. I try. And but there's other people, even if you said you're hot, they're going to hear it as, oh, I detected a sarcastic tone in that. So this is why arguing scripture is pointless with people, because whether you realize it or not, you're creating your God at all times through your thought processes. I can tell you this, the God I grew up with is not the God I have now. Because when I was a kid, and nobody ever checked this theology, but I thought this for years. I picked it up from Sunday school somewhere, that like when you got saved or born again, your name got written in a book. And if you messed up, it got erased. And if you repented and asked forgiveness for the sin, the name got put back in. Which I used to think, man, they must be wearing a hole in that page, you know, because you're going in and out constantly. And it's like this Russian roulette thing. Like, I just hope that I'm, you know, I got to make sure that the second that I die or Jesus comes back, it better be when the name's in there, or otherwise I am doomed. I was going to say screwed, but that would be inappropriate. doomed sounds better. Thank you. And I thought I was the only one that thought that, but I remember when I was in college, a guy that I sort of was friends with, I was watching a soccer game one day, and he really lost his cool in the soccer field, and just he acted bad enough that I think they suspended him from school. He was like, I don't remember if he used bad language, but I don't know, Southeastern was as tough when you were there. When I was there, like a darn or a shoot could get you. But anyway, I went and visited him in his room, and he's sitting there on his bed. He's staring off in space. He said, can you believe you could serve God all these years and you could have a day like today? And what if Jesus would come back? When I was doing that, I'd go to hell. And I said, is that what you really believe? Because even back then, I was like, no, God's got to be better than that. The whole thief in the night thing has been so taken out of context, because we created this gotcha God. You just got to make sure, like, oh, can you imagine being in a relationship like that? What if you were married to somebody who said, look, I'm going to be married to you till death do us part. But if I ever come home and these dishes aren't done exactly when I want them done, I will divorce you immediately. There's no, you know, I have an attorney on retainer. What's that? Well, but you'd be like, I can't live like this. This is too, you know, I may keep a spotless kitchen, and there may be one day you come home early and there's a cup on the saucer. I can't. I was even thinking about this because I sent Ken a picture of somebody we know that was playing at it's a restaurant out where, close to where he works. And he said they just got a really bad rating on their, their health score. And I remember, I never look at ratings. I remember, some of y'all remember Phil Howard, who, you know, his family had a chain of restaurants. And I remember him telling me one time, he said, you know, you try to stay on top of it for the health department, but sometimes they'll come in and they'll just be like a wet rag that somebody left on just for a minute on a thing. And they dock you all these points and give you a C. And he said, you could stay pristine clean for weeks on end, and you never know when this guy's going to come in and some minor infraction and make it look like, you know, your place is unsanitary. So that all this time where you've done everything exactly right is completely pointless. And I said, that must be a lot of pressure. You know, that's one reason, y'all met my friend Howie, the reason he quit teaching. He loved teaching. Teaching was a calling for him. He did it for 30 years, but they changed the way that you teach now. And he said, I just couldn't take one more day of some intern who I've been teaching longer than they've been alive coming in and critiquing me over something. Like, I just don't think I want some 19-year-old to write up a report because they don't like the way I said something. And Hallie's, you know, very politically correct, like all of that. It's just, he said, I just don't want that pressure. It's too much. I never know. They're going to come in and observe me. He said, I feel like after 30 years of teaching, I shouldn't have to be observed. And I feel you on that. That's why I said, go get another career. And he created another career. He gets paid to be a travel blogger now. He's going on, he texted me the day before yesterday, and he said, I hope this doesn't sound bad, but because he just got off an Alaskan cruise, and he's going on another cruise in December. He said, but I just got this other great deal on this cruise that's going to Dubai. He said, what do you think? I said, my feeling is, if you can do it while you can. If you can afford it, life gets away really fast. He said, sometimes it makes me second guess myself. I said, if you enjoy it, it's nobody's business. It's not costing them any money. If you want to live on a ship, that's your business. I mean, don't you just get tired of people, of Gladys Kravitz always looking through the blinds, you know, checking on you? I'm like, get a life, Gladys, like for crying out loud. So anyway, and that's, and a lot of church, you know, a lot of people say they're Christians, but they're really Gladysites. You know, they just basically look at everybody else to make sure they're being Christian enough. And so anyway, here's the third thing I wrote down on this. It says, they say that the universe is expanding and growing and continuing to create and recreate itself. What if there's a God connection to that? What if our personal evolution is connected to God's personal evolution? What if when Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? He was implying more than we thought before. Was he telling them that they could, in a sense, create who he was by what they said about him? Now, some people may say, well, no, you can't create God. Well, I know you can write your ticket with God. I know you determine your... I mean, Jesus has given clues constantly. You know, to them that have, more will be given. If you're merciful, you'll... Even, I thought of this the other... Well, let me read the rest of this. Let me finish this. The writer of Hebrews said, though he, Jesus, was a son, he learned obedience through the things he suffered, through process. That's an extraordinary scripture, because you think, well, Jesus was, he was flawless, he was perfect, why would he have to learn anything? But apparently there were things he learned through suffering. There's, let me tell you something, there's some things you're going to learn in life, that's the only way you're going to learn it. I wish I could tell you there's another way, but there are some things you are going to, listen, if Jesus had to learn some things through trial and error, you're going to have to too. Look, we don't want to think of it this way, but when the Syrophoenician woman came to Jesus and said, would you heal my daughter? She's demon-possessed. And Jesus says, well, you know, why, I came to the house of Israel. I didn't come for you. And she says, well, even the, he said, why should, it's an insulting thing. Why should we give the bread to the dogs? And she just gets in his face, says, well, even the dogs get the crumbs from the table. And he says, all right, for this saying, your daughter is made well. We don't want to think of Jesus having to evolve in racial consciousness, but is it possible that maybe the human part of him was not that evolved yet? And this woman made him rethink a woman like her? Like, you don't want to think of Jesus like, no, Jesus, well, how else would you explain it? Like, I used to have, and I'm going to say some things about race in a minute that may get your boxers in a bunch a little bit, so just stay with it. I hope you wore it comfortable underwear. But I remember, like, when I had the church, white pastors would ask me, how do you get black people to come to your church? You have a lot of black people. How do you appeal to black people? I said, well, I don't intentionally do it. I mean, do you know any black, do you have any black friends? No. I said, well, that's, I mean, that you're, especially if you start a church, your church is going to be kind of your, you know, manifestation of your life. And, you know, if you don't even know any black people, it's unlikely that black people are going to come to your church. Because there's coded things, some people call them dog whistles, that people say in sermons that some people are going to hear that other people aren't going to hear. Like, remember, one night when we were still at church now, we all went to that big church out there. I won't say which one, but I took the staff out to a really big, big mega church. And one of the first things the guy said was, he's talking about how much he loves Chick-fil-A. Now, I love Chick-fil-A too, but gay people also know that that's kind of a dog whistle, because Chick-fil-A has been very outspoken about, you know, LGBT issues. You know, the president of it says that when people of the same sex get married, they're shaking their fist in the face of Almighty God. And my literal mind thinks it's like, you know, like when black people do the slave thing in at a wedding of jumping the broom. Is that a thing they do at gay weddings? Like, and now we will have the official shaking of our fist in the face of Almighty God. I'm like, dude, nobody's hating God. They have a life together, and they have property together, and, you know, they have children together, you know? Look, it's a blessing to Metron that my insurance is on, even this week, when I got a booster, you have to fill out the thing, whose name is on the insurance? Kenneth Marshall. Who's that? Spouse. Like, yeah, that's awesome. Nobody's going to say, what? Like, no, that's the world. But my point is, when the guy was talking about it, Ken asked me, he said, did they not like gay people here? I said, well, I don't know. I don't want to read something into it. If nothing else, it at least is a little clumsy of him to have this big a church. He just should have said Burger King or something, because for some people, and we, you know, once in a while we will, you know, like, all right, let's get Chick-fil-A. Don't roll up the windows. Don't let anybody from the community know. But it could be, like, some people would hear that and say, oh, no, you're just overreacting. Well, if you've never been part of a marginalized group, there are things that other people, you will not hear that other people hear. And you can say, well, they're just being too sensitive. No, they're coming from a different paradigm. Let me finish this, and I'll get into that. Jesus clearly had to grow into the knowledge of who he was, or into Christ consciousness, if you will. What if we're all on the same journey? John said, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. With every statement that you make about yourself, you're not just saying who you are, you're declaring who and what you want to become. There is a greater version of you on the inside that is trying to manifest. Talk up your future. Talk up who you are becoming. Was that the end of it? Okay. Now, this is what I want to say about it. And I've probably taught along these lines. This may not sound that revolutionary, but I want to bring it back to you today for this reason. There's a concept that if your life is moving in a circular spiral upwards, for every new challenge you face, it will require a new version of you. So that I'm not taking away, I'm still going to lead you in I am affirmations. I just want you to understand that it means more than I am. When you say I am, you're also saying I was, I am, and I will be. In that first chapter of Revelation, he says to John, I am he that lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. In other words, I'm... You know, I've been in different incarnations. This is what I want to say about race, and I'm only saying it to make this point. Like, this election just happened in Virginia, and for the governor, and a lot was said about CRT, critical race theory, which is not even being taught in Virginia. But if you don't know, critical race theory was literally, it came out of Harvard in the 80s, and it was all it was a project to look into how African Americans get the short end of the stick in certain systems. It was like an examining of critical. Doesn't mean blame critical. It means critical. Like, let's observe, because there is systematic racism that if you're not a victim of it, you don't see it. And you can't see it. Like, if a cop pulls me over for a ticket, I never think I could be dead in a few minutes. I think, oh, crap, I'm getting a ticket. I know black people, especially black men, who it's a whole thing that's about to go down, you know. And we're not just making it up. I mean, enough stuff has happened just in the last 24 months where you think, okay, there's clearly an issue here. This can't be this many flukes, this many things happening. Especially when you say, like, who was this kid? I shouldn't be laughing. It's just so absurd. I don't remember what he did. He's a white kid, and the cop and the judge in the sentence said, I should send him to prison, but he wouldn't survive there. Like, his life has been too privileged. I'm going to have to give him a lighter sentence. I mean, a judge actually said that. So, but here's the thing. I remember even my own evolution in this. I remember when I went, I went to predominantly black high school, and a lot of time, this is back before the King holiday was a federally recognized. And even back then, it was a big deal in my high school that the kids that didn't come to school on MLK Day, and whether they would be marked absent or not. I remember it was like a big deal. And I remember conversations that would go on where black kids would say to white kids, you don't know what it's like to be a slave. And white kids would say to black kids, well, you don't either. I mean, neither of us have been slaves. So there's two different paradigms. What's this got to do with this? Just hear me out on this. Clearly, there are conversations that still need to be had fearlessly, because there are some things that are not getting fixed, no matter who gets put into office. Like, I know, I go see every movie that comes out, every kind of 12 Years a Slave movie, I usually go see it, and I'm always aware, because I'm like, typically, we're the only white people in. And I know, like, I remember Jonah's mom and I, we had just gotten married, and we were in South Carolina. We went to see Do the Right Thing, and we were the only white people in there. And the thing where the black kid gets killed for having the boombox, well, I mean, everybody in the audience is saying, I hate white people. And we're just like, may I say, in behalf of the white community, we do not support the killing of the young man. I mean, you know, I'm sorry, but if we were there, we would be against it. I don't know what to do. Like, if I could get in a time machine and believe me, I would stop slavery if I could. I just, and there are white people who just say, let's don't talk about it anymore. It was in the past. We don't want our kids to have to hear it. Here's the thing. Black kids have to put up with all kind of crap. They have to look at Confederate flags and all. Nobody asks them, is this uncomfortable for you? Now, don't, I feel y'all, don't know. But I'm saying, if you are afraid of that conversation, here's why I'm bringing this up. When he talks about the Alpha and the Omega, there's a word, and it's a very interesting word. It's a word called closure. And you don't in relationships, you don't always get closure. Sometimes I advise people, like, stop waiting for closure. You're not going to get it. You're going to have to move on with your life. There are other times, if you can get closure, if you can get resolution, it's really awesome, so that you can move on. And I can tell you this, the race issue in this country has not received closure. It just hasn't. And you can say, well, people need to get over it, or what, like, you have to stop saying things like that and hear people out who still need closure on little things that are not, they may be little to you, they're not little to other people. When slavery was abolished, freed slaves were promised 40 acres and a mule. It's like, all right, we're going to give you like a head start, because I was reading some things by Ayn Rand last night. Alicia Rosenbaum was her real name. Ayn Rand was her. And she sort of somehow, and she was not a libertarian, but has sort of become the sweetheart of the libertarian. Rand Paul is named after Ayn Rand. And her whole thing about, you know, everybody's on an equal playing field, and, you know, that's true in certain cultures, not necessarily here. You can't say pull yourself up by your own bootstraps if you weren't given a boot. So you have to, here, let me explain to you, because I just opened like five cans just then. Let me see if I can get to all of them. You can hold two different thoughts at the same time. You can say, Thomas Jefferson was a genius. He was brilliant. He was a great man. He was the architect of the Declaration of Independence. He was a slave owner. He had children with Sally Hemings. Both those things can coexist. One doesn't cancel out the other. The beginning of the Constitution says, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union. Meaning, it's really good. None of us wants to leave it. You know, people say, I hear some people say, especially white people say, if they don't like it here, they can leave. No, that's not the way it works. You don't tell people to leave, you form a more perfect union. Where I was reading about, some of you might not know where Wellington is from. He's from Liberia. Liberia was started actually before the Civil War by freed, and correct me if I'm wrong, Wellington, Fauna is his actual tribal name, but people who were freed Africans who were born in America went to West Africa and formed Liberia. The capital is called Monrovia. It's named after President James Monroe, because he was president at the time. But if you'll notice, there's no big, I'm not dissing your homeland, Wellington, but if you'll notice, there are people of African descent who are not moving to Liberia. They're like, no, we're Americans. Let's form a more perfect union. And if you've got people on the other side of the argument who say, no, it's not, it's I am, it's not I will be, it's I am, this is the way it is. My country, love it or leave it. You can't live it. That's not the way it works. Like I said about my insurance. To me, America's better than it was before that was a possibility. You know, so other people would see that as America's going to hell in a handbasket. All I'm saying to you is this. What's this got to do with God evolving? It's because everything is evolving. You're evolving. I look back, I looked at some picture of me from when I was like 18 or 19, and I thought, I know that I am that guy, but that guy lives in a totally different body than the body I live in. I could, whatever he's wearing, I couldn't even button that now. And, huh? Yeah, like that. I'm sure he thought differently. I'm sure his theology was different. I'm sure, this is why I don't even get upset if people say, well, you're new agey or you're new thought or whatever. I would have said the same thing about me in 1975. If I heard someone teach this then, I would have said, that guy's not really preaching the gospel. So when he says, we're now the sons of God, it doesn't appear what we shall become. It means that the I am is the I will be. Do you understand why I brought in the race piece, because I keep hearing people saying we don't want to talk about it anymore. You have to talk about it. You can't be afraid of people saying, it doesn't mean all white people are bad. It means you have to acknowledge there's a reason why way too many black men are incarcerated in this country. There's something wrong in the system. There can't be that many black men who are criminals and white men who are, I mean, believe me, I know white people. They're capable of committing crimes. When a white person says, I don't believe in white privilege, like, let me tell you what white privilege is. If you drive a Mercedes anywhere in this town, nobody's going to ask you if that's your car. So all I'm saying is there has to be some closure on all of these issues. We are forming a more perfect union. We are worshiping a more perfect God. We are becoming more perfect versions of ourselves. And this is really what I want you to get out of this more than anything else. You know what my problem with my teaching today is? I'm trying to cram an entire month series into one teaching. I really should spread all of this out, but you're just going to have to get it in compact form. This is what, if you didn't hear anything else I said, this is what I want you to hear. You know, there's a classic gospel song that says something to the effect of, we're not what we should be, we're not what we're going to be, but we're not what we were. We used to sing, we've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord. And it's the idea of evolution. This is how we got from point A to point B. Or Mahalia Jackson singing, how I got over. My soul looks back in wonder. How did I do it? How did I get over? How did I survive that? Haven't you been through things that you thought, I'm not going to make it out of this? I mean, this is going to be the end. And you found out that, hey, guess what? Weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. This is what I want you to get out of this teaching. There are things down the road in the future for you, some of which you are creating, some are the results of the other people in your life who are creating their reality. This is kind of why, like, I don't despise prophesying, and I had a whole season with people like Kim Clement and Mark Sharona and all these people. So prophecy has its place. I despise not prophesying, but the scripture also says that prophecies will fail. And the reason I don't depend on the prophetic so much now anymore is I don't like the idea that there's a static future out there that it, like, certain things are going to happen when I get to them. I don't like that. I like knowing that I'm creating it. I'm creating a future that I'm going to walk into. Beth, I think we've talked about that in Mary Poppins, where Dick Van Dyke's characters, he's doing those chalk drawings and then they jump into the reality. That's such a picture of what I'm talking about. So that every word you say, every thought you think is creating a future for you. But you don't have full control over it because there are other players in your life. There are other players in your environment, in your country, in your world. So you don't know all of it. There are some things you are going to face that you were not prepared for. There are some things that you're going to encounter that are going to completely blindside. And you're also going to find, when those things happen, that you have evolved more than you realize. Have you ever had a thing happen that you thought, man, if this had happened 5 years ago, I couldn't admit it. Guess what? You're not who you were 5 years ago. So you can say, I am, but within the I am is an alpha and omega. I'm an A, B, C, D, E, F, G. X, Y, Z. I'm an X, Y, Z. And I find such comfort in that, you know, that, well, when I get to that thing, the person I will be by that point will rise to the occasion. This is why, like, I plan on living a good long time. This is why I don't fear death, because I think, well, by the time I get there, whenever that is, I'll think differently about it than I think now. You know, when you're young, you just feel invincible and nothing. You know, you think about some of the risk you used to take when you were a kid. You think, what is that? There's a gland in your brain that's not even developed till you're like 25. Like, have you ever had teenagers do certain things? You think, are you idiots? Yes, they are idiots. That's why they need parents. Because you're, yeah, it's not even, and then at a certain point, you look back and think, what the hell was I thinking jumping off that bridge or doing something, you know, like, I wasn't a big risk taker, but I can even think of some of the things I've done, like in foreign countries or something. I think, I wouldn't do that now. You know, that, like, at the time I thought that was walking by faith. That was just being stupid. Thank God for, you know, guardian angels or whatever it was. But you also think nothing can ever happen to me. And then you get to an age where, you know, you start seeing people dying all around you. And you think, well, it's definitely, Eddie just lost an aunt and an uncle. Both died of COVID within 5 days of each other. And it's very real. But you also, as you get closer and closer to it, it's not as scary. I mean, when I'm with my mom, we don't talk about it every week, but every few weeks, something will come up. She will say, by the way, if something were to happen to me, don't forget, blah, blah, blah. And it's not like any oppressive thing. It's like, yeah, we probably need to say, okay, I got it. I know it's in that drawer over there. Okay, whatever. Because you just can't be in denial of it. So you think, well, by the time I get there, this version of I am will be. So yes, I am is the eternal part of you, but it's the part of you that relates to Jesus being an Alpha and Omega. There's a beginning and an end to it. There's a closure to it. And, you know, there's some things in my life that to this day I cannot make sense of. You know, I look at certain relationships, especially church relationships that ended a certain way, that I think I have no idea what that was. There's other things I can look back and think, you know, I'm pretty sure I know what that was. And I'm mature enough now to look at it and say, oh, learn from your mistakes. You just listen. And those of you that have stayed with me this long obviously know this. Just because you're called and anointed does not mean you're perfect. It doesn't even necessarily mean that you're mature. I mean, that was when I was very young, because I was super, like, you know, charismatic and quoted a lot of scripture. I mean, I really had an intimidating presence about me that made people think I was more mature than I actually was, because I could get in the pulpit and just sound like Elijah. But then one-on-one, I could be petty and you know, easily offended or whatever, and it was confusing to people. Guess what? It was confusing to me. Your anointing can be a burden to you sometimes, because you think my rate of maturity is not keeping up with the anointing that I have, and people think I'm this man of God. Like, no, I'm a guy with some serious issues. Not so much now. You know all my issues now. I told him some time ago, I said, those are my issues. And you're like, okay, we didn't see that one coming, but when's the next meditation retreat? It's like, it's just a very different, it's a very different reality now. Somebody recently said something about having a gay church. I said, I don't have a gay church. I said, there's gay people that go to my church, but it's not even technically a church. Like, there's some gay churches in the city of Atlanta, but that's not what Metron is. Metron, I could just easily have called it manna, because manna means what is it? We don't know what it is. We still don't know what it is. Somebody said, well, what do y'all do? Well, why do you keep going? I don't know. That is true. That's why when somebody says, I wanted to come here because I've been looking for a church, I'm like, you're welcome, but you may be, because I've been here for a while and I don't even know what it is. I mean, really, to a certain degree, when I started this, it was kind of experimental. It was like, well, let's go to the theater and let's see what happens. And here we are. Which, if you didn't hear what Eddie said, he said God is different than different people, which is precisely my point. If you understand the, whatever that phrase, I will be what I will be, it's an even deeper meaning than I am. because it's basically it's I'll be what I need to be when the alpha and the, when the alpha, the beta, whatever letter of the alphabet I'm on, I will rise to that occasion. Because, you know, Jesus is eternal, but he says, I have an A and a Z. I have a beginning point and an ending point. Everything has a beginning point and ending point. We went, Ken's cousin got married last night, and we went to the wedding, beautiful outdoor wedding. And I was listening, because I don't, usually when I'm in a wedding, I'm doing it. And I was listening to the guy because I'm always curious to see if people make somebody swear to till death do us part. Because that's a lot to make people agree to. And which he did, you know, as long as we both shall live. And I thought, mazel tov, you know, I hope that does work. But that doesn't work, you know. There were some of us that made those that said till death do us part, and it, you know, well, to a sense, we did die. You know, so if you put it that way, and who you are now, it's kind of like Paul saying, it's no longer I that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me, and the life that I now live, I live through the power of the Son. Born again and again. So yes, in that sense, I'm sure that's true. Now, in a beginning, yes. When I marry people, I don't really put a shelf life on it. And it's not that I don't think marriage should last indefinitely. If it can, that's best case scenario. I think at this point in my life, and some of you may be here too, I think if something were to ever happen to Ken before me, I don't know that I would try to find a relationship again, because I would think, I don't know that I can duplicate that again. I don't know that I, you know, I know what that was like, and it was wonderful, you know, but I, to try to find that, and I don't judge other people that try to duplicate it. I told my mom recently, she, you know, she's asked, I said, Mom, if you want to find somebody, I'm okay with that. It's just, I can tell you, it's nobody we know. There's nobody, because I know you really well. And I said, anybody at your age that you hook up with is going to be an elderly man you've got to take care of. And I said, I know you don't think of yourself that way. You know, you're thinking of romance and some young hot doctor. I'm like, no, that's, you know, I'm just giving you a reality check. And if you can find him, you know, I'm not going to call him dad, but, you know, I'm not trying to keep you from that. It's just, I know what you had with dad. And I don't think you're ever going to duplicate that. So be happy that you had it. What's that? But it's true. Isn't, don't you know exactly what I'm, Romanina knows exactly what I'm talking about. It's not even that you're grieving over the loss. It's like, no, I had that and it was wonderful. Because the fact that I'm not trying to duplicate it speaks to how wonderful it was. I don't think I could ever have that again with somebody. So I'm going to be happy. I'm telling you, I'm trying to shut up about this, but I want you to get the essence of what I'm saying. Life is full of alphas and omegas. And if you don't adjust to things ending and beginning, you're going to be real unhappy in life. You have to just know when, oh, that season is over. And it was wonderful. Like I always tell you, you don't have to hate the summer to love the fall. It's just the next season. For years, I said, fall's my favorite season. Now I just think, no, every season, I love it. Every season has something about it that I love. And life's going so freaking fast now that if there's something I don't like about the season, I just go, it'll be it. And it's the next one because it's just, is this happening for y'all? It's just zooming by. I'm like, whoop, there it went, another year. So, with all the, you know, I remain an I am, but I also know I'm an I will be. And I get the impression, if John was really tapped into this, where he says, now are we the sons of God and does not yet appear what we shall be, it seems to me that this progression must happen indefinitely. I don't think it's just limited to earth life. I think whatever is next, there is a continuation of evolution. And I don't know what that is, but I guess I could sum it all up with this, is like, don't be afraid of what's coming. Because whatever, when it comes, you will have evolved into who you need to be. And there are things, listen, now I am prophesying. There are things right now that you don't like that are going to end up being tools of the trade. Like right now you think this is a real pain, but it's equipping you for something that you don't even know is coming. And when it comes, you'll say, wow, I'm glad I know how to do that now, because I wouldn't have known how to do that at A or B, but I'm now at LMNOP, and I got it. And I'm not to the Z yet, but when it comes, the I am will be fully manifested. Y'all feel me? All right. Do you understand why I brought in that other piece about there, until there's closure on certain things, we can't be afraid to talk about these things. We can't just keep going to our political corners. We've got to say there's clearly an issue. Let's find out. Let's at least come to the table and have a conversation, and get some closure. And you deserve that. All right, you got it. Let's all stand. I love you guys so much. And appreciate you being here. And how did we do on our first time, Greg? We passed the test first time? I feel like you already were prepared for everything that I mean, you kind of already knew what I was saying, because you, whatever your journey is probably preparing you for kind of where we are. Excellent. I love it. Jonah, thank you so much for being here today. Let's run this, and I'll officially dismiss you.
You may also visit missionatmount.com and click the support tab to give there as well. When you contribute to Metron, you're also donating to the charity or organization of the month. Thank you for your investment into Metron.
I speak a blessing of I am over you, and that you relax deeply into your spirit, knowing that you will evolve, beginning at whatever your alpha is, does all the way to your omega, and there is no fear on the journey. You let the evolution take place as you go from glory to glory. I bless you just to enjoy your life, just to enjoy being, to enjoy aging, to enjoy progressing, that you don't fight any of it. You are at peace with the river as it flows, as it takes you to your next destination. I say that you're blessed when you leave here today and you wake up tomorrow saying, this is the day the Lord has enabled me to make. I will rejoice and be glad. God bless you. Go in peace. I love you. I'll be streaming next week. We'll be back here December 5th.